Hi, I'm Jesse Ives-Kurtzer.
And I'm Jonathan Kroll.
Welcome to Being, the podcast that brings the hive alive.
Well, how's it going there, Jesse?
I'm doing great.
Excited about our podcast?
I am never been more excited, actually. I have a great start to the school this year.
Okay, great. Happy to hear that. Jesse, tell me a little bit before we get started into the meat of this conversation. We're going to really focus on the big new policy in the school, which is really like made a big splash about the phones. Let's just talk a little bit. Let's introduce yourself. So tell me, Jesse Ives-Kurtzer, who are you? Where'd you go to school? Tell us a little bit about your background so we can understand your foundations.
So obviously I'm Jesse Ives-Kurtzer. I go to SCR High School now. I'm a senior. I live in Riverdale, 261st. I started actually at SAR when I was little. Didn't go so great. It wasn't really the right fit for me at the time. A little bit overwhelmed by the size. Transferred to Beit Rabban Day School, which was a very small Jewish day school on the Upper West Side. Slowly after my sister joined me and then my mom joined me. It was a really great experience for me. And then came in high school, went from a grade of 10 to 185. Obviously has its had difficulties, but I really loved both my experiences, and it's been very incredible to have those two very unique experiences.
Okay,
what about you, Riley Kroll?
Okay. I also live in the North Riverdale area, but it's actually Yonkers. With my family, I have been involved in SAR for, on and off for 20 years or so, a little more than 20 years. I grew up in Chicago, went to day school, Hillel Torah, North Suburban Day School in Skokie, Illinois. For elementary school, went to Ida Crown Jewish Academy for high school, ended up in Yeshiva University where I got my undergrad degree, a graduate degree, smicha, and I've been around Jewish education, mostly in SAR, for close to 30 years now.
Yeah. So Rabbi Kroll, you approached me at the end of last year. I was in your office. I don't really remember why. And you said, Jesse, I have an idea. I'm like, hit me with it, you know?
Yeah.
Tell me you have an idea.
With an idea.
I'm excited. You're like, what if we start a podcast together? Yeah. I was immediately in. But tell me a little bit about like where that came from you. Have you been thinking about this for a while?
I'll tell you all about it. So I became a little bit of a podcast guy only in the past couple of years. I was not an early adopter of kind of listening to podcasts. I started listening to podcasts. It was like a great form. I never really thought that I should do it. I didn't think the forum would appeal to me to be a content producer, mostly just as a consumer. That being said, last year for a senior X, two guys, perhaps they know them, they're a year older than you, Caleb Eden and Saul Hochheiser, had as their senior X, they did a series of podcasts about SAR, life in SAR. They called it the SAR Experience. And it was, I listened to it like, and I was amazed by it, and I thought it'd be a great – we should keep doing that. Like, we should have kids talking about SAR. I'd like to share some of my thoughts about SAR. If, kids in the school listen to this and parents listen to it, other community members, if we have something to share, great. People listen to us, we'll get the feedback, and we'll keep doing it. Yeah. If this is a total bomb and nobody listens to it, no one cares about it, we'll end it after a little bit of experience. We'll call it a day.
Yeah.
What did you think when I asked you to – join me if you were interested in this. And by the way, it was a mixture of I had an idea and I wanted to. You were the first kid I saw. And I also like talking to you. You're fun to talk to. So it was actually all worked out.
So unlike you, I'm not even sure you know this actually, I do have a little bit of podcast experience.
Ooh.
I have two podcast experiences. Firstly, in I think seventh grade, back at Beit Rabban Day School, I've always been a big foodie. There's a podcast called The Sporkful. I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but it's basically the biggest food podcast in America.
Yeah. So it's like, I've not heard of it, but okay.
Yeah. So I drink milk with ice. It's weird. It was much bigger in my life when I was younger than it is now because I don't really drink milk anymore. And I was like, you know what? This is interesting. This guy knows a lot about food. I'm going to email this guy, see what his thoughts are on it. It was a very bizarre experience. I ended up getting on his podcast, having a full episode.
When you were a seventh grader?
I was a seventh grader.
Oh, okay.
Like, really, like, this podcast is getting, like, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of listens.
I hear it.
I would, like, now in retrospect, it was a very bizarre experience that was, like, very cool, but also, like, that was weird. And then I had, like, a senior X type thing at the end of eighth grade.
Yeah.
And I hosted a podcast about, like, Jewish food. I had made two episodes. Mm.
So I look forward to like learning from your experience as we go on this journey together. As curiosity, did the host of that podcast, did he validate your milk with ice predilection?
So he both validated it and, like, kind of gave me advice, which, like, now, like, you know, it was one of the weirder side quests in my life in the sense that, like, kind of a weird interest that I had that I was like, yeah, I might as well email. And then I was like, oh, I'm now on one of the biggest food podcasts.
Yeah, while we'll get back on track with the phone in a moment, but I must, you know, just inquire just a bit more. Did you ever consider using as ice cubes in your milk?
So that
ice milk that like using milk, freezing milk, and using that as ice as milk cubes, frozen milk to add to your milk. Would that
was the winning idea. That was the that was the conclusion.
I'm happy to have thought of that on my own. Because I mean, I find that I've been to coffee shops before where they give you iced coffee and it's just like lots of ice and a little amount of coffee and it angers me. Angers me. What I've been very pleased though. I have been to a coffee shop where the ice cubes are coffee, frozen coffee, and that just gives me great joy.
Yeah. So that's a dream right there. Yeah. But I'm sorry for taking us off track like that.
Happy to share my
podcast experience.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about, I actually want to hear from you. You know, the big change in school this year. Basically banned phones. Again, we might say, perhaps you might think this is a little more 1984-ish. I'll say, I wouldn't say it's the banning of phones. Perhaps we would say what we actually did was we asked students to hand in their phones in the morning, and at the end of the day, they retrieve them. It sounds a little softer than saying the school will take away your phones, but I mean, functionally, the school is taking away your phones. We have done it. You know, at the beginning of the day, you hand them in at the beginning, before Shacharit, when you scan in, and then you get them at the end of the day when the bell rings at the end of school. Tell me a little bit about how you have experienced this, what you originally thought about it when the email came out towards the mid-end of summer saying this is what our plan was going to be. What did you think back then, and what has your experience been now that we're a couple weeks into the school?
So, personally, I kind of saw it coming. I think like there were some signs at the end of last year, there were more policies about freshmen their phones. I think I even talked to you about it and you said, yeah, we're leaning in that direction. And also it's been kind of become a trend across like a lot of yeshiva schools. So I think it wasn't shocking to me. I think it was shocking. It was like, oh, email and everyone's like running around in motion about freaking out. Mm-hmm. But look, I obviously have my worries, like all the small things, but I kind of was a little bit like, I think it'll take a little bit of time to adjust to. I think everyone will kind of refuse to admit that they like it for a while. But then once we really get into it, it'll be really nice. Because, like, yeah, there are advantages to having our phones. People like to call their parents. They spend the money on their phones. There are a lot of small things like that. But the truth is, like, on, like, a bigger level, like, grand scheme of things, like, the grade floor has become so much nicer. It's people talk to each other. There's much more, like, openness.
I'm actually curious about that. Tell me a little bit about that. Like, you know, it sounds to me like you're describing your experience of the free time. I'm actually curious if you can make a distinction in your experience talking about class time and the time that you're in school that's not class time, whether it's free periods, lunch, breaks, things like that. Like, has your class time changed at all? To what extent has it? Tell me a little bit about that, those free times and those spaces that are a little bit less structured.
So, yeah, I think I am more present in class. I didn't fully expect that, but like your phone does weigh you down, something, even though it's like.
How so? Like, you're not, again, I mean, I'm giving you full immunity here. There's a statute of limitations. Like, in your teachers generally are pretty good, had been pretty good about making sure the kids wouldn't check their phones. In class, but sometimes kids obviously do.
Yeah.
Statute of limitations. So you cannot get in trouble for this. Would you check your phone during classes, like, you know, in the first 3 years of school?
Like, not really. Maybe like once or twice here, but I just don't think it's a worth it risk. Like, if I get caught.
So how did it wait? So, but you still like, did it, so even if you didn't check it, it sounds like you were saying that it still weighed you down in some way. How so? I'm curious about that.
Well, yeah. Number one, like, when you have your phone in you, there's like, you have all this access, all this information, you're getting texts and you're feeling the vibrations. Even if you're not doing it, disturb, you still like, there's like a sense of FOMO of having it on you and not knowing what's happening on that side. Also, like, even if it wasn't during class, if I'm taking a break and going to the bathroom, maybe I'll pull out my phone, you know, I'm checking a text or checking the Yankees lineup for tonight, something like that. And like, obviously I can't do that now, but it means that like, I think gives me more of an opportunity to reflect and not like always have to be looking at something, mm-hmm. which I think is nice.
That's interesting. And tell me a little bit about the – because that's to me, that's very interesting to think of because I hadn't thought of it like that. But your experience I think is probably similar to what a lot of other kids experience, which is – and it resonates with me because I know when I'm sitting in a meeting and I am focused in my meeting and I have a cell phone in my pocket and it's buzzed several times, I'm still going to be very focused as much as I can. But I'm thinking – I'm like wondering yeah. – who in the world has texted me the past like four times in the past minute? And I'm thinking about like as soon as the meeting is over, I got to check that right away. And I imagine that even if I'm trying hard to focus on a meeting, inevitably some of my attention has been preoccupied by wondering what's going on. And that sounds to me like I didn't think about that, but I guess that's what you're saying would often happen in class. Even if the teacher was 100% strict and the kid was 100% compliant, there's a little bit of that feeling, distraction because you know it's so close to you and you're going to check it a little in a few minutes.
Yeah. Also, I think what a lot of people didn't expect and I didn't expect either was that given that we all don't have our phones and also we can get into it in a second, like other schools don't really have their kids have their phones too. I'm not really like I check my phone at the end of the day. I don't really have a lot of texts. I have my family group chat, my extended family group chat that asks like trivia questions and that kind of thing. I don't really read those in the first place though.
Trivia questions. That's what shows up on the – is that more of a Kurtzer or an Ives
that's
family?
That's a Kurtzer family. Uh-huh. The Ives family ones are more of like random news articles, but baby pictures on those more. Okay. But because my friends from school and really out of school are not really texting me during the day because they don't have their phones either, I kind of don't really have that FOMO anymore because all the people that I would be missing out from are actually with me, you know?
Yeah. I hear that. I hear that loud and clear. I'm curious about a little bit more on that level. Is there something that you feel like I assume that there are downsides, things that have been challenges that you either anticipated or didn't anticipate. You did a very good job describing, let's say, the classroom experience, how that's been like enhanced in a certain way. What's been hard or difficult or annoying or inconvenient?
So I have one major thing that's very unique to myself.
Oh, let's hear that.
Exposing myself a little bit right now, I run Barstool SAR.
An
Instagram account where
this is a major doxing, self-doxing just took place here.
Yeah. Where we get people to send in funny photos and videos from the week, just like different things happening on SAR. And then we have like an almost Shabbos post at the end of the week where we post all of them.
Full disclosure, I knew that Jesse was the guy in charge because I have infrequently, once in a while, been reached out to Jesse saying, not so sure that kind of photo should have made it. I do it with a very light hand, but sometimes a line has been very crossed and that needs to be reined in. So again, although this may be news to the world, I will just admit that, I have been aware of this for some time now.
Yeah. So, we try our best, but sometimes, I'm still a 17-year-old boy.
Yes,
so, without the phones, which this was my immediate concern and still figuring out, without the phones, people can't really take photos and videos of stuff and therefore they can't really send to us. So we kind of like brainstormed it a little bit. People have been using their iPads to film, which is kind of very funny because the camera quality is kind of much worse and it's like a horizontal angle. But like obviously that's taken a slight hit. But what's nice is that like both – everyone in SAR wants it to continue, like all the students. So everyone's trying their best to get stuff. And also, we have a group chat of a Barstool SAR and all of the other school Barstools. So basically every yeshiva league school has one.
It's very Achdus oriented. I like the sound of that. That's like, there's a certain irreverence in all each school's Barstool. And I guess together you have a little camaraderie?
Yeah. So it actually, unfortunately, has not really been camaraderie. Usually it's like people kind of taking shots at each other, making fun of people getting knocked out in Saracek.
Oh, okay.
Not super active until like a few weeks ago. Someone else is like, guys, what do we do? We're all in the same boat here. So it's actually been kind of nice because everyone's kind of in it together. Everyone's figuring out their own bar stools. Like Barstool Frisch, who we like don't really DM that much. We've like DM'd a couple times over the last few weeks trying to figure out what to do. There might actually be a collaborated post coming soon.
Oh, wow.
Which would be very exciting.
You heard it here first. On SAR's podcast known as Being.
Yeah.
Life at SAR. Go ahead.
So that's actually been kind of cool and like very sweet. And it means like no one's like making fun of each other because like we're all kind of in the same boat here. But look, that will be like a little bit annoying. I think we'll figure it out. But yeah.
I got to tell you, from my perspective, Jesse, in terms of that content creation, I didn't really realize just how much TikTok content was being created in school during the day, because I've been walking around this. And I don't think I even realized that that was what was going on last year or the year before. I'm like, why is there nobody? I walk on the halls now. I'm like, there's nobody dancing anymore.
This
is so sad. They're not facing a window. Nobody's dancing. I'm like, what's wrong in school? Why is there no? And then it hit me. I'm like, oh, they weren't dancing for joy of Torah learning or just being happy. They were actually, all those people dancing were creating TikTok videos. I'm like, okay, so actually, oh, that's a huge difference. I haven't got every once in a while, I'm not a TikTok guy, but every once in a while, a parent would send me a link to some sort of TikTok that was made in an SAR bathroom. And I have gotten zero of those, right now. And that's, I think, a overall big advantage. Also, can I tell you something else? I have noticed, and over the past number of years, Jesse, one of the ways in which, you know, again, as you said, I'm a 17-year-old teenage boy. Teenagers will do things that aren't always the most sort of intentional, well thought out, well planned. They'll be a little more impulsive sometimes and do things that are, you know, a little bit silly. That's kind of like, that's just part of what it means to be a teenager, is to do that stuff and learn from those experiences. But I will tell you, kids in school have gotten, I say in trouble. I don't mean in trouble like they've been punished by the school, but they've done things that they've regretted and hurt people's feelings and like created ill will between them and friends, often by posting things in like a WhatsApp group or taking a video of somebody that they thought was in good nature, but it really is making fun of somebody. Yep. And if you're not doing that, if you don't have your phone and you're not, obviously, there's probably some good things that you're also not videoing, as you said, that great Barstool content and whatnot. But you're also, you don't have access to do some of those like kind of things that would be a little more problematic, that would be hurtful to some kids. I've noticed that. Does that make sense to you?
I think a big part of that is that once you take a video of something, it's out there. Like people can delete it. They also can go back and they're deleted and take it back. So I think by video and taking a photo, there's something like a little bit like that hurts more because you know it's out there and you know there's nothing you can really do about it. Once one person gets, you really don't know where it goes. So even if people still have the inclination to take kind of a mean photo or something, they actually can't do as much, which I think is kind of nice. And the truth is, like, when someone does something that's like funny but maybe a little stupid, and then it gets photoed and then they feel bad about it, without the photo they feel fine about it, and they actually
You can move on.
Can move on, and you can laugh and then move on.
Yes.
Versus the photo, it doesn't really let you move on, which I think is like.
Yeah. Okay. That's an interesting point. Can we get back to something we referenced briefly, but I want to dive a little bit deeper into. Talk to me a little bit about what the experience is like, whether you're sitting in the GLC office, whether you're sitting on the great floor, but it's lunchtime. Like, for me, it hasn't really changed my life. I mean, again, I have my phone on me. There was an interesting conversation, perhaps we'll talk about it in a moment, how teachers have adapted and whatnot. Yeah. But your experience, like in those less structured times, not the class times, what has that been like? What's been good? What's been bad? What's been different? Tell me a little bit about that.
So I kind of saw this, though, at the start of the end of last year, and it kind of continued now, especially with the phones. There's been a lot, like the gray floor has been a lot more active. I think the thing that the class of 2026 does the best is mincha break, which I can't fully describe. But there's always something fun going on.
Yes.
And I think like people not being able to just stand there with their phones. And I've been in conversations where everyone's on their phone, even though we're talking to each other, which is kind of like weird. It creates like more of like, there's a little bit more boredom, but it kind of translates into like, let's do something right now. Yeah. Let's like keep it up with the balloon for like 40 minutes when I went out of free.
You played keep up the balloon for 40 minutes.
40 minutes. Thing?
It was like a lost childhood. All those children who used to be scrolling on their phones through Instagram and TikTok are now liberated to have that very valuable exercise of playing keep the balloon in the air.
Like,
you did it for 40 minutes. That's pretty good.
Like full body diving.
Wow.
On the great floor.
That's intense. Like, good exercise.
Rug burns across our legs, like hardcore.
I'm sure the teachers who were teaching in the room is right next to that would probably
did not appreciate it.
Okay. That's not surprising.
Yeah. So I think that's been a really nice part of it.
Interesting. What about lunch? What's lunch like? Lunch different?
So I think what's nice for me personally that I don't think a lot of people have is like, I don't really care who I eat lunch with. I kind of like, if someone's walking to Grimbounds and I'm walking to Grimbounds, I'll just like eat there. Or like, if I bought food from home and someone else brought food from home, I'll just like eat in the cafeteria or something. I think though, for a lot of kids who have like a more like have set people they want to eat lunch with for whatever reason, obviously, I don't think that's a bad thing at all, but I think it makes it a little bit harder.
Yeah. Wait a second. I just want to figure this out. Again, do you mean to tell me, I'm just curious about your lunch plan. You are a spontaneous guy. You'll bring your lunch, you'll walk towards Grimbounds, and whoever kind of random person or somebody you're familiar with, you'll see, you'll just sort of grab them and go or follow them and eat with them? Or you'll go to Pizza Block and do that? Or
yeah, like
I like that. It sounds like living in the moment.
I like leaving school with someone. Mm-hmm. Like I don't like the like walking alone because it's a little sad to walk alone. Yeah, but like usually also in Grimbounds, there's like people like kind of just sitting wherever.
Yeah.
And even Pizza Block, we've done a few times. This started last year. Was like we called it Mega Table, where we brought six tables and we had like controlled Pizza Block.
Wow.
So like it's pretty. I think I can just speak for the boy end. It's been pretty like not a huge difference.
So let me ask you a question, if I may. It's a little bit less phone, but a little bit more of a focus on those eating establishments during lunch. What do you do about the fact when a random neighborhood person walks into Pizza Block while it's the middle of lunch and there are 100 SAR kids eating pizza or Dunkin'? Like, what are your feelings about that guy or that woman who you're like, they don't know what they just walked into? Like, how do you manage that?
Like, I remember in like eighth grade, like there was like one day that I like had school off, SAR didn't have off, and I came to Pizza Block at like 12:30.
Oh boy.
Lying outside the door. Like, honestly, I think the answer to that is like, they don't really come to Pizza Block during the middle of the day.
The customers are aware that you don't walk into RKM, you don't walk into any of the eating establishments between, let's say, between 12 and like 1:15, just to be safe.
To be safe. Like, I mean, it's like frequently the line's at the door.
Yeah. So. And if they do, it's on them. Hey, you should have known better.
You should have. And the truth is actually, Pizza Block, actually, the line moves pretty fast. Like, you're not waiting
for
that line.
They pride themselves on that. They pride themselves
on that. But it is like, if you don't know what's happening in there, it's like a stressful experience. Yeah, like, you're not.
I can understand that. Okay, let me ask you a question. Let's talk a little bit more, maybe perhaps, about some of the I was going to talk about some of the values that are perhaps in conflict. But one of the things we raised just a moment ago was talking a little bit about the teacher experience. So I want to share with you a little bit. And if you have any questions about that, one of the things we discussed over the summer with staff was the extent to which, you know, sort of like teachers should abide by or respect or kind of like have some sort of gesture towards the reality that for kids, it's like annoying. The kids don't have their phones. We did not say, you know, some teachers asked, are you going to ban phones for teachers? I'm like, okay, it doesn't work. We're not doing that. You're an adult. You figured out. But what we did ask teachers to do was to be mindful of the fact and to, they carry their phone with them because teachers carry the phones with them because sometimes we take attendance with the phones and sometimes certainly during fire drills and things like that. Teachers carry phones with them, but it's not to keep them public. Like, it's like a little bit like, you know, it's like making, you don't want to kind of rub it in to kids. So we ask teachers to keep their phones in their pockets, or I don't know if you've noticed a number. I was familiar with this, but didn't really fully appreciate it till this year, that generally, and we're just a couple of guys here right now, generally, you know, in women's fashion, a skirt generally does not have pockets.
Yeah.
So it's been very, you know, if we tell the male teachers to keep the phone in the pocket, it seems to be easier said than done by the male teachers than it is by the female teachers. I don't know if you've noticed new sort of accessories that many female teachers have adopted, various sorts of Sting-themed fanny packs and the like to store their phones in them so that they're not carrying them around their hands. Have you noticed that?
So I saw Dr. Schwartz's yesterday in PPE.
Yeah, she has a B on her.
A little B on hers. Also, do you want to shout out on the topic of that, my grade reps who on the first day gave everyone fanny packs.
Oh, what was with the fanny packs?
What
did you need the fanny packs for if you don't have to?
I think it was like your wallet. Like, you know, you have a wallet now.
People have to have wallets. No Apple Pay.
Carrying that stuff around.
Old-fashioned credit cards.
They didn't fully catch on. We tried to make it into a thing.
I think it would have been. Yeah, by the way, don't give up, Jesse.
I'm not giving up. I saw it.
I think the fanny pack is a very underappreciated.
Underutilized
accessory. Very functional. And it can, besides being functional, Jesse, I mean, you could really make them fashionable.
Yeah.
And I think it's time to like really normalize the wearing of the fanny pack and to make it cool again.
Yeah. So we had the first day everyone was rocking it.
Yeah.
Kind of died out, but maybe we'll see a later in the year push. Mm-hmm. So
we've asked teachers to not, use their phones and have their phones carrying them out, not to use them public. Like, if you're making a phone call or using your phone, we ask teachers to use it in a place that is a private space. Like you go into a room that's like not walking the hall. You know, it's for me.
Yeah.
It's like been interesting. Like it's been a very appreciated on my own part, like a shift. I didn't realize like how different it would be for me. But I think I was totally guilty of this. Like a class would end and I'm running down to my office. I would quickly check my phone in the hallway or on the stairs as I'm running to my office for something, just to see if anything happened. Yeah. But I don't do that anymore because I think it would be offensive. And I actually feel like I'm much more present. I'm able to I try to say hi to everybody that I see in the hall, but I'm much more attentive and able to say hi and be present than I previously have been.
I definitely think that it makes everyone more conscious of it. And I was curious, though, like, Cole, like, can you speak a little bit about on like the grander scheme of what came into this decision? How long have you been talking about this?
Yeah.
What were the other opinions about this?
So good. We actually we've been talking about it for a while, of course, with the, all of the talk around, Jonathan Haidt's Anxious Generation, a lot of talk about the mental health crisis in America, to what extent is it? I don't know the extent to which this is not about solving America's mental health crisis. This is not about that. This is about really trying to have kids be more attentive, more present, to really be able to be themselves and to not be under the spell of the large companies that spend lots of money trying to figure out how to capture your attention through very powerful algorithms that we frankly are just, we're not stronger than. And the belief was to try to figure out ways to make it easier for kids to have that sense of, I'll call it freedom. The freedom to be much more attentive to things that mattered. So we talked about how to go about doing this. Keep in mind, New York State has made phone usage outlawed bell to bell K through 12 in public schools. We're not bound by that. But my impression is that most of the Yeshiva League's schools, certainly all our peer schools, have very similar programs is what we have for this year, as you mentioned before. And so it became, we had to figure out like what exactly we do. We considered things like, what a number of public schools are doing is not collecting phones, but telling people to keep their phone. You must keep your phone in your bag during the day or in your locker. It can't be seen. That was a thing that we considered. We rejected that, thinking that it would be, our experience has been that that's something that the allure is just too strong and it would be very hard. And we didn't think it would work. We would think that you may have somebody like you, oh, Jesse, I was curious, you're generally a rule follower and want to do the right thing. I said. And you would say to yourself, okay, the school asked me to keep the phone on. I'm going to do it. But I think it would be very hard to imagine that everybody, if on the honors system, or even with total deep rule enforcement, would be able to kind of withstand the allure of getting the phone. And then you're going to start feeling like a loser. Why is the R? Well, and once a bunch of kids are using the phone, everybody feels like they should do it. And then the whole thing unravels unless you have really police state surveillance. And we didn't want to turn that our school into that. And so there's almost like a having a pain we thought would be a pain point in the morning of collecting all the phones at davening would be a much better one and one and done than having to do it all day long. It creates bad vibes.
Yeah, creates a bad vibe. And I think like what you just said, like there are two big things here of that. Number one, I think everyone would feel like, oh, you know, just check my phone once here is not – it doesn't really matter. Like if not everyone has to do it, I'm just checking once because, you know, my mom's going to text me. But then if everyone has that mindset, then everyone's doing it, you know. And then also let's say there is one person who's like, I am not going to use my phone. If you have everyone around you on their phones and even secretly, like it kind of sucks. I'm like you kind of like don't want to be that one person who doesn't have their phone. And I think this actually – what this does is nice is that everyone's – it's not really in our control, so you can't really can't change anything about it. I was curious, like, where do you see this taking? Like, how do you see the phone policy acting in the future? Like, is this permanent thing?
Yeah. As we said, we've been kind of collecting. We're starting to collect data from kids to see how kids are experiencing it. We're also talking to teachers. I think it was interesting to me that when we had the original poll, like the first day of school, it's what kids thought about it. It was a very low positive, which was actually, if I may be honest, I thought that's expected and actually good because if everybody thought from day one, this is going to be the greatest thing ever, it'd be hard to, show improvement. We'll see where it goes as we kind of pull kids throughout the year. I don't know where it's going to end. I'm open to seeing where it's going to end. I'll tell you, it's interesting to me. I don't think we're going to go, but here's one possible path this will take. Some kids have said to me that I get, Rabbi, why, you know, you don't want us on TikTok and Instagram all day and why we're WhatsApp. Okay, fine. I hear you, Rabbi. What if, but I want to be able to speak to my parents or be in touch with my sister who's in Israel or this. Like, I mean, again, perhaps there's, I mean, I'll just, as a side point, I'll just point out, I don't think that every kid needs to text their parent to let them know when they get a good grade or a bad grade on a test. That's probably healthier to be able to take a deep breath, separate, and go home and talk to your parents after school. That being said, I'm sympathetic to like for a lot of kids that want to be in touch. Some kids are, what, Rabbi, what if we all got flip phones? Or so I said flip phones are not – flip phones are just flip – they actually have browsers and like you actually, it's hard to get a phone. Somebody said to me, what about kosher phones, Rabbi? I'm like, oh, actually, believe it or not. So I did a little research, went online to look at the kosher phone sort of like
industry.
It is a world that you've never seen before. You go down the rabbit hole of levels of kashrus of the kosher phone. But that being said, if kids in the school said, we're not going to have our, smartphones until we're like, 18 years old. I'm making this number up, okay? Yeah. And we're going to use these kosher phones or these whatever kind of – I don't want it to have to be like a frum thing.
Yeah.
But if we're using whatever kind of phone that has basically talk and text, would I be like that? Would that – I can imagine that being a really interesting thing if the result of this led there. I don't know if kids would want that, but if that was something that was of interest, that could overall probably be a very healthy thing if kids sort of delayed the adoption of smartphone to a little bit older. That could be very interesting. I don't know if I see it in high school as much, but I could imagine – maybe middle school. This trickles down to middle school, where the expectation is that you don't need a phone with access to the internet. You're not driving even at that age, or you need even Waze or something like that. I can imagine that being a possibility, but I'm open to see where this goes. Again, we're 2 weeks in. I don't want to assume I know what the future holds for us.
So you said at one point just now, right? I agree with most of the statement. I think it's very interesting that. I'm not really exposed to the world of like the kosher phones, but I will say I have a friend. I won't name him for confidentiality purposes, but I think he would be fine if I did. But he has like a normal iPhone, but over time, it has like slowly like kind of fallen apart. Both in like it's fine, but it really does not work. And he is like he kind of like treats it like it's a kosher phone in a like kind of hilarious way. He can use WhatsApp and pretty much nothing else.
Oh, it's great.
He doesn't have a functional camera, which is the crazy part of it. Obviously, like, you know, we make fun of him for it, and it's like, and you can't even try using it because you don't have to tap certain parts of the screen.
Is the screen kind of cracked so you can't even see like so video or
– you have to tap certain parts of the screen in order for it to work. But I actually give him a lot of credit because and I worked with him this summer and he was just not really on his phone and it was like very impressive. He like really – by having the access to like be able to text and call, but like, you know, not browsing social media, like not on Google, like he has really like separated himself from his phone in a really cool way.
That's interesting.
And I was very impressed by that.
That's impressive. I'll just say, okay, we're gonna close out in like a minute or two. I do think it's important to point out as much as I'm, you know, I really believe that it's gone really nicely so far. I've been impressed both with all the things that you're describing. I see that when I walk around the school. I'll also tell you, I have been pleasantly surprised by how nicely and smoothly the logistics of collecting phones in the morning and returning them in the afternoon has been. I thought it was going to be much more bumpy than it has been, but so far so good. That's been really good. But I think it's important to note, this is like not something we took lightly. Someone said, it doesn't feel very SAR-y to do it. And I hear it. Like we like to like balance a little bit of and like give a lot more student autonomy than we're really giving here. You don't have the, there's been a decision that is to a certain extent is pretty coercive.
Yeah.
And that's a tension of values. On the one hand, students' individuality, their autonomy. And on the other hand, like we're thinking about the greater good here. Like what as a society. So it's almost like you have given up certain freedoms, but giving up those certain freedoms, I think, is something that allows for a much greater and deeper freedom, which is that freedom of your own attention being yours and not being distracted unnecessarily. And we'll see how it goes. Like I think if at the end of the day, kids are generally going to feel the way you feel now, I don't know if they will consider your general positive outlook right now as being you're a sellout. So I warn you, Jesse, it's possible after this podcast, the angry mob may be chasing you down. But I actually think that generally kids have experienced it like you. It's generally been the feedback I'm hearing. And I think that people are going to recognize that giving up some of that autonomy along with, this has been something that's they haven't for the greater good is worthwhile. I'll tell you an interesting thing about the autonomy. One thing I hadn't expected, I got a text message after the email went out. Again, a bunch of people didn't like it. Okay, most people like it. A surprising one. The owner of Dunkin' Donuts across the street texted me and said, Rabbi, I don't want to get into your educational business here. You do what's best for your kids. I'm just telling you, I'm very worried. Almost all of my business from SAR is orders through the mobile app and on their phone, and I'm worried I'm going to go out of business.
Oh, wow.
I hadn't thought of that.
And then didn't you add it to
that? Yes, we did. I said like, I want to – kids want to be able to – it's good for kids. It's good for this guy. I don't want to put this guy out of business. I hadn't thought about that. So we actually were able to add it to the kids' – like kids' iPads have only educational like apps and access.
I don't have YouTube.
Except for
the Dunkin' app.
The Dunkin' app. So you're able to order mobile orders through your school-issued iPad now because that also was to help him. Hadn't thought about that. But also, I mean – I want to recognize that kids have certain things that they're interested in. I don't see it as being like as something that would be too distracting and would only be helpful. So I want to try to give as much autonomy as we can to be mindful of kids' interests while at the same time recognizing that we are taking away a lot of that autonomy for the greater good. So.
Yeah. Rabbi Kroll, if you had to say one word to describe our first episode, what would it be?
One word that I would use to describe our episode, Jesse, is joy.
Joy.
What about one word from you, Jesse?
One word. I think presence.
Mm.
Yeah.
I like that. I tell you, I enjoy and I get joy just sitting down and talking to you. So if other people want to experience this and listen to our conversation and find it meaningful, matov uma na'im. If, however, it's just an opportunity for me to spend a chunk of time sitting and schmoozing with you, That is fantastic as well. So that brings me joy. I felt very present here. I have not checked my phone once, although I will admit it has buzzed, several times. Jesse Ives Kurtzer, it has been a pleasure having this inaugural event of the SAR Student Administration Podcast known as Being. Jesse, have a wonderful day.
You too, Rabbi Kroll. Thank you so much. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
All of you for listening to our first episode.